Okay, this kind of fits in with the law of dominating good. Anybody know what the law of dominating good is? We're talking about principles. This law is built around a principle. First of all, do you believe in a dominating good? Does good dominate? Many philosophies, New Age, metaphysical, and Eastern philosophies kind of pinpoint the good and evil, just balance each other off evenly. But the law of dominating good says that this is not so, that good dominates. And if good does dominate, why does good dominate?
It's the will of God.
Okay, first of all, let's define what the law of dominating good is. What do you think it is, Wayne?
I think it has to do with statements like, all things work to the good of those who love the Lord. It's nothing can happen that doesn't bear inherently some benefit to the person that experiences it. So if
silver lining in every cloud.
Yeah, if you have a terrible experience, there should be something in there to learn.
Okay. So the law of dominating good, DK is the one that coined that phrase. I don't know if anyone said it before him or not, but he says this lies behind all that God has made, the law of dominating good, which means that between good and evil, good dominates. Now, it's amazing how many people are out there saying, well, there's no such thing as good and evil. There's no good and there's no evil. Okay. Is that true or not? What's the argument they give that there is no good and evil?
Well, there's different levels. On God's level, there is no good and evil because everything is just the way it's supposed to be. But on our level, a lot of times there is the opposition and the good and evil because that's the fallen world that we live in, is a world of good and evil.
Okay, to figure out whether or not there is good and evil, we have to define what good and evil is. If we don't define it, then how can you say it doesn't exist if you don't know what it is?
Isn't that just a perception?
So, okay, we're going to get in that. So, what...
Do you have that tells us forward and evil is that which takes us backwards? Isn't that from your archives?
Uh-huh.
Good is that which propels us forward and evil is that which takes us backwards.
Right, and so if you do not define what good and evil is... And what makes a lot of people say there's no such thing as good and evil is the rebellion against the biblical words again. Remember we talked about that? A lot of people just don't like these old biblical words because they make a person sound a little fanatical or something. Like repent, righteousness, sin, all these old words, atonement or whatever. All these words in the Bible, and many of them are misunderstood by today's society. People hear them, and they grew up hearing about these words pounded in their head, and they're rebelling against them. Now, one of the words that is in the Bible quite a bit, a set of words, is good and evil. And a lot of people say there's no good and evil because there's just an instinctual rebellion against religiosity, so to speak. But that's not enough. If you're going to rebel against good and evil, you got to figure out what you're rebelling against. If you're going to say good and evil doesn't exist, you got to say what it is you believe does not exist. Okay, so we're going to define what good and evil is. What's the normal definition that, you know, people have?
You mean like breaking the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, say the typical religious person, what does he call good and what does he call evil?
Stuff of God is good, stuff of the devil is evil.
Yeah. And that's kind of nebulous, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, what belongs to the devil and what belongs to God? If you're doing God's will, you're good. If you're doing the devil's will, you're bad. Well, that's pretty nebulous because if you're in the Seventh-day Adventists, think the born-againers are evil, and the born-againers think the Seventh-day Adventists are evil. So, you know, who's right about what's evil there? You know, so when we look at these nebulous definitions of good and evil... Well, no wonder a lot of people discount what it is. But let's look at what good and evil really is in the cosmic sense. Now, Sharon defined a minute ago. I want you to define that again, Sharon.
The good is that which takes you forward, and evil is that which takes you backwards on your path.
Okay.
And that's not my definition. That's in your
archives. Right. And I actually didn't originate that definition. That come from the writings of Alice A. Bailey through Master D.K. Good is that which moves us forward in evolution. Evil is that which takes us backward. So let's pick somebody that everybody agrees is evil, which is Hitler. Was Hitler moving us forward in evolution or trying to take us back?
Backwards.
Right. He looked at the kingdoms of the past. The past glories of Germany, where they were led by a great, powerful tyrant, or he didn't look himself as a tyrant, of course, but a dictator. And he wanted to bring that back. He was bringing back the past in so many ways, it's hard to believe. He was bringing back the past by concentrating on form instead of spirit. He authorized a lot of experiments to create the perfect human being through breeding and things like this. And he had a certain type of human being in mind that he wanted everybody to eventually look like. Okay, that's the past. But on the other hand, leaders like Churchill and FDR, what were they concentrating on? Right, they're concentrating on moving ahead to where man has not been before. FDR enunciated the four freedoms. Churchill had a lot of great ideas about unifying the nations, bringing them all together. He had ideas like producing the United States of Europe type of situation. Both of them were forward-thinking and had ideas that would move mankind forward. Hitler wanted to return to the glories of the past. That which brings us forward is good. That which takes us back is evil. Now, if this is what good and evil is, if there is no good, you say there is no good, what are you saying? You say that I don't believe in progress. I don't believe that I can move to spirit. I do not believe I can return to God. I do not believe that my life will be better tomorrow than it is today. I do not believe that I can achieve happiness tomorrow if I'm not so happy today. Is this what we really want to believe? Do we want to not believe in that? Evil is that which takes us back in our evolution. Those forces which try to take us back. You ever notice when you try to take a step forward that there seems to be all kinds of forces pulling you backwards? Anybody in here ever smoked and tried to quit? Who's tried to quit? Dan? When you try to quit, have you ever noticed that every force in the woodwork comes forward to offer you cigarettes and get you to back on the habit?
Sure. Yeah.
Right. This is what happens. That's a good analogy because every smoker can identify with that. Not only smoking, but everything you do that will move you forward to more happiness, better health, whatever, there's forces trying to pull you back. And they come out of the woodwork when you take that step forward. If you've never taken a major step forward, you may not have noticed it. But if you ever try to make a major step forward in your progression, you'll encounter the forces pulling you backwards. You'll wonder where they all come from and where they've even been all your life. Because they are powerful and they will pull you backwards. Jesus gave a parable about this. He talked about there was a man with an unclean spirit who cleaned his house and got rid of the unclean spirit. And the unclean spirit went abroad and he found seven more devils, he says, more evil than himself. And he brought these seven back with him, and they entered into the guy, and his last state became worse than the first. Now, there's a principle around this. Discount the fact of the typical view of what devils may be. But there's a principle behind this teaching of Jesus, and that is, and Dan encountered when he tried to quit. Have you wound up quitting?
Well,
no?
Sort of.
Sort of. You're really good at it because you've done. You're really good at it because you've done it hundreds of times, right? Are you raising your hand or stretching?
I did quit.
Okay.
He did quit.
Oh, you did quit?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you still kind of tempted now and then?
No.
Oh, good.
Actually,
you can do it?
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. Okay. Yeah, so what happens when you try to make a step forward, especially a spiritual step? Now, Dan's also encountered this on the list. He's decided to create a course. And he presented the course to our triad group. And he got all kinds of flack over that. Now, poor old Dan, he was just trying to, help and help people move ahead spiritually. You got all kinds of flack over that, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting how... Now, I'm not saying whether Dan was right or wrong. It's just the fact that he was making an attempt to move ahead. And when you make an attempt to move ahead, you're going to have forces pulling you back and trying to make you think you're just all screwed to the dickens with your idea to move ahead to begin with. You'll have these forces that will come to you and ask this question to you. This is what I call the mantra of the Dark Brotherhood. Who do you think you are? Okay. Now, getting back to quitting smoking, this mantra is even enters your head in a certain strange way when you even do something simple like that. You try to quit, and something in you says, "Who do you think you are trying to quit? You can't quit." And whenever you try to move a step forward, you'll have this inner voice from the dark side pulling at you, "Who do you think you are? You're nobody. You can't move ahead. You cannot be a spiritual man. You cannot be a healthy man. Look at all these people and the bad shape they're in. What makes you think you can move ahead of them? You think you're better than they are?" You'll have this inner voice from a point of darkness trying to pull you back. In other words, the dark energy that you threw out will go find seven other dark energies worse than himself and come back with about a dozen times the force he had before. And you thought it was hard before. Now all of a sudden, as you're taking that baby step ahead, you feel a force very powerful trying to pull you back. People who identify with that when you look over your lives?
Yeah.
Have you felt that force trying to pull you back when you try to move ahead? Yeah, lots of people nodding their heads here. Now, the question is, why does good dominate? A lot of people think that good doesn't dominate, that they're exactly equal and they balance each other out. But do you realize that in all of creation, creation exists because one energy dominates over the other? Without this domination, all the universe would disappear. You ever think of that? And that's a scientific fact. It's not spiritual metaphysics. It is a scientific fact. You look at the creation of the atom. You have the positive nucleus of the atom. And then you have the electrons. Within the atom itself, it will be created because it's a little out of balance toward one energy or the other. And in this universe, it's toward the positive energy, what we call the positive. Slightly positive, and that out-of-balanceness causes rotation and movement to try to balance off the two energies. And that rotation and movement and wavelengths that's created creates everything there is. If you go down through, if you had the most powerful microscope in the universe and could look, you look deeper and deeper, you see empty space wherever you go, empty space with wavelengths. You go into the atom, you go into the quarks, you go deeper and deeper, you do not find anything solid. Everything is created out of energy and motion that's just slightly out of balance. If you could take the matter in this book and balance off the two energies so the positive and negative were exactly equal, it would disappear into nothingness. Not exactly nothingness, because where it come from is not nothing, It is that which is esoteric. It is that which we do not understand. There's no such thing as really nothing. But where creation comes from is a point that is just not understood by us. But there is something there. But from the concrete mind, we would call it nothing. But it's not nothing. So one energy balances over the other at all times, and it causes creation. Now, there's only two energies in the universe, positive and negative, and they manifest in all kinds of different ways. One of the ways they manifest is in good and evil. And in good and evil, you have them interplaying against themselves, and one always dominates over the other. Now, sometimes one will dominate a period of time and then the other a period of time, but in the whole scheme of things, one dominates over the other eternally, and that is good, at least in this universe we're in. Now, we define good as being that which moves us forward in our evolution. And there will never become a time when we're not moving forward. Well, there will be rest periods. There will be a great Pralaya where the universe all folds up and then a new universe will be created. And in between the universes, in between the solar system, in between the creation of the planets, in between lives, we may have a rest. But there's always a new period where we're moving forward. But why is moving forward dominant over moving backwards? It's a key principle here. I'm going to give you one word to contemplate on, the seed thought. Intelligence. Intelligence. Contemplate that word in relation to why good dominates over evil. Let's go back to the painting of Leonardo da Vinci. He had an envision. His dominating good, or his good that he has in mind, is creating a masterpiece of art. Say either the Last Supper or the Mona Lisa, something like that. That finished product is the good. Okay? He begins to paint the Mona Lisa. He can't get the smile right. Okay? Or the non-smile, whatever people call it. He wants it to look a certain way, and he can't get it right. Evil is he keeps making mistakes. He keeps not getting it the way he wants. This is evil because these mistakes take him backwards. He thinks he's making progress. Then it doesn't look right. He erases it. He starts over. So he's going forward. He's going backwards. He's going forward. He's going backwards. And eventually he goes forward and he achieves the dominating good. What gives him power to achieve it?
I just want to say something else. Actually, I'm not sure that it's evil each time he tries and doesn't get it right, because he's actually moving forward by eliminating the possibilities that aren't working.
Okay, but see, that's the way we're defining evil. In other words, it's true that without good and evil, there can be no creation. Without good and evil, there could be no creation of a light bulb. There could be no creation of anything. Because you have a force pulling one direction and then a force pulling another direction. But one of the directions will dominate. If the direction with Edison inventing the light bulb, a lesser man would have had 10,000 failures, and he would have thrown his hands up and given up. And the evil, or the going backwards, would have dominated. And that happens many times. Many times people attempt a great work and they encounter so many frustrations that they give up. I've encountered many people who say, well, you know, I've read your teachings, and right after I did this, I had this negative thing happen. That's a sign to me that I should just go on to something else. Okay, well, is that a sign to him about that? No, that's a negative force pulling him away. In other words, if the teachings have something that could actually move him forward, and that sign discourages him, he's being dominated by retrogression. Edison would have been dominated by retrogression because a reporter came to him and he says, Edison, you've made 10,000 attempts to create this silly light bulb idea of yours. Are you ready now to admit failure? And Edison says, He said, you have failed 10,000 times. Edison says, I have not failed 10,000 times. I have 10,000 times I have successfully identified that which will not work. And that only leaves a handful of things left. He says, so I'm just about there. That's what you call a positive mental attitude.
Okay, JJ, could it?
Yeah, Larry.
Maybe the reason why did good dominate is because God, the ultimate one God, has made a decision of will and power that things are going to go this way. It's like a stream. And if you're trying to go backwards, it's like swimming against the stream. And a really strong swimmer like Hitler can go back for a while. But even if Edison had given up because the stream is going forward, somebody has got to invent that light bulb.
Right. And if Edison had given up, right, Larry made the good point, somebody else would have come along and built on what he had, probably taken Edison's notes about the 10,000 things that didn't work, and maybe made two or three more experiments and found the one that did.
maybe good dominates because we'll continue to choose until we get it right. It's like that parable you gave about going to heaven and hell. Even if you end up in hell, you keep choosing again or recreating again until you get it right. Maybe that's why good dominates.
That's a good point. Napoleon Hill tells another story in this relation. In the Wild West, where everybody was looking for gold at the end of the rainbow, this guy decided to go out west and get his gold. And he found this mine that he bought from this other character that looked like it showed a lot of promise. And he worked and worked that mine for a very long time. I can't remember how long the story said, probably a couple years or something. And then he just finally gave up. And so he sold the mine for about $100 or so to some guy. He couldn't hardly give it away. He sold it just really cheap to another guy. And this other guy took it, and he called in an expert, a mining expert, and to get his advice. And the guy surveyed the mine and looked it over, and he says, well, if you dig in this spot about another couple feet, you should hit something. So he dug three more feet, and he hit the biggest vein of gold anybody had hit for years, become a millionaire. Now, the guy that failed, that missed the vein after working for years, missed it by a couple feet. How did he react to this? Most of us would say, oh, no, it's just my lot in life to screw up like this. What he did is he thought, I'm not going to let this happen to me a second time. I am not going to be 3 feet away from gold and give up this time. And he went into a business, and he didn't give up, and he became a millionaire. So he learned from his failure. He learned to, instead of letting going backwards dominate, he learned to go forward and to not go backwards, not let ignorance take him backwards. And he learned to go forward, and he became as successful as he would have if the mind would have come in for him. Okay, good dominates because of intelligence. Why was the Mona Lisa finally created? Why was the light bulb finally created? It's because intelligence was applied in the direction of the good. And now if intelligence is applied in the direction of going backwards, more intelligence there and more will and more determination applied in that direction, then evil would dominate. But good dominates because all of us, when we tackle something about going ahead, it's true, there's a lot of forces that's taking us backward, but when we're determined and apply intelligence, the intelligence is in the direction of the good, in the direction of moving forward. Because intelligence and will is in the direction of moving forward of every life in the universe, good dominates over evil, and that is the reason. And that's the reason that there's creation to begin with. It goes clear down to the tiny atoms, to the greatest thing in creation. All these things are slightly shifted in the positive energy direction. And because of that slight shift, that slight dominance, creation takes place, and good dominates in the universe. But it doesn't always appear that good dominates. Why is that? Why does it appear that evil dominates? Why does it appear that Dan hasn't quite conquered smoking habit yet?
He's just not ready to be over his habit yet.
Well, he will sooner or later, won't he? Even if it's in a future life. Yeah. Sooner or later, he'll do it. Okay. Yeah, wait.
It's an illusion that plays out physically, metaphysically, and every other way. The, for example, we talk about the planets in retrograde, where they appear to go across the sky in one direction and then come backwards across that same path. Because everything in the universe is moving forward. They are coming back across the visible path, but they are still moving forward. The path itself is moving forward.
Yeah, so what you're saying is retrograde planets are really moving forward, but it's just illusion they're moving backwards?
Right. And yeah. if you fail in giving up smoking, it provides, in one sense, more ammunition for the next time. You know, yeah. You may build enough disgust with the situation to finally achieve something that you had failed at several times.
Right. It's a lot in the way you define it. Like Robin said, those 10,000 failures of Edison's were kind of, in one way of looking at it, were a step forward. So in one way of looking at it, everything takes us forward. But everything takes us forward because that's the direction intelligence leads us. It leads us forward. If intelligence was taking us to destruction, then we would be going toward destruction. As a matter of fact, intelligence does take us toward destruction. When the universe reaches its end and all the desires of the people in the universe have been fulfilled, all of us have reached our spiritual destination, then the spiritual will go toward destruction rather than building. And the whole universe will begin to unravel and fall apart, but then a new universe will be created. So everything moves gradually forward. Everything that happens is a step moving us forward. But this is because the dominating good is controlled by intelligence. And the intelligence takes everything that happens and uses it as a step toward moving forward, making good dominating over evil in the long run. And that's a comforting thought to know, that good dominates over evil. Because sometimes it appears that evil dominates over good. And, you know, like many people take their lives. They get so depressed, they take their lives because they just feel that good cannot dominate. That evil is dominating, that they're just going backwards. Everything they do is a failure, so they give up and they become depressed or attempt to even take their lives. But what they don't realize is this is just a pocket out of their eternal life where going backwards dominated for a period of time. But overall, if the person encounters this or absorbs this belief that overall good always dominates over evil, always in the long run, then that gives you a really solid base, makes your philosophy a lot stronger, makes life a lot more worth living, because no matter what happens, no matter how down you get, you know that sooner or later you're going to be up, because good dominates. It's a powerful belief to have. Someone raise their hand over here.
Let's say the Dark Brothers, you know, who represents the evil, they're using intelligence too.
Which brothers?
Dark Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. They're using intelligence too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Putting us backward.
But there's not as many of them on the dark side as the light side.
That's true.
Yeah.
Wouldn't another thing that made it that way is because, like, the dark side, in it somehow, it has like a fail-safe switch that, like, won't let it. It can only go so far without self-destructing.
Right. See what the Dark Brothers do. The Dark Brothers eventually self-destruct. The Brothers of Light don't. The Brothers keep on going. Now, as far as controlling the people of this planet Earth, they're more under the control of the Dark Brothers than they are the light right now, and the control is switching over from dark to to light. And this is what's going to initiate the age of peace that we've all looked forward to. So that a lot of the illusions have to be dispelled. But see, everything that the Dark Brothers does is transitory. In other words, once a dark path is chosen, it's a path of destruction, so they eventually wind up destroying themselves. Everything except their spiritual essence eventually is destroyed. And then their soul starts their path of evolution all over again, millions and billions of years hence. They lose a lot of time. But then eventually the Dark Brother begins his progression all over again, and he eventually becomes Light Brother, because good even dominates with them. Even the Dark Brotherhood, good will eventually dominate with. They try to prevent it, but they can only fight against it so long. Because the dominating intelligence in the universe is that great entity that we call God, and his will pushes us forward in spiritual evolution, producing the power of the dominating good. People are surprised to learn that the Bible says that God created evil. Yeah, I believe it says that in the Psalms and maybe Isaiah too. Well, he created the positive and negative. In order to have creation, you've got to have the positive and negative. But he created both good and evil, but he puts his energy, his intelligence, into the domination of the good, the domination of moving forward, the domination of eternally progression. Can you think of a greater hell than you reach the end of your progression, where somebody tells you, well, John, you just can't move ahead anymore. You just got to stay where you are. That would be very discouraging, wouldn't it? I mean, you get bored. It would be maybe nice for a month or so. You just rest, sit back, kick, enjoy the beach. Then pretty soon you think, I'd like to do something. As we were talking yesterday, there was God in his great void, the one great life. Man, I'm getting tired of just being in this great void. And I'm going to reflect myself billions and trillions of times, create people in my image, and pour myself into them and experience through them. I'm going to experience everything there is to experience in this world, this universe that I'm going to create. And then after I get done with that, then I'll do something else, because I'm getting tired of just floating in this void here. You know, wouldn't you think that if you were God? Sure you would, because you're a reflection of God. You are created in his image. Probably the worst hell is boredom, one of the worst hells. Indecision is perhaps the worst. The second worst is boredom. And I think that God created the world just because he's bored and wanted to do something exciting and different. We go through a lot of trial and error when we learn anything. It's like Leonardo da Vinci again, or Edison creating the light bulb. Go through trial and error, have many failures. And we have many failures in our personal life. And when we begin our evolution, we may think, well, being selfish is where it's at. Because if I'm really selfish and just looking out for me, nobody else is going to look out for me. So that logic seems good. And that seems the path of good for you. Heck with everybody else. You is what is important, because you're your whole universe. That's the way you feel at that point in evolution. And so you're just looking out for you, and if you can like rob a bank or steal from somebody and get away with it, you think, well, what's the harm for me? Or maybe it hurts the other guy, but I don't care about him. You know, I care about me. And so we do go through that phase until eventually we have something happens to us, somebody comes and steals from us, and we think, boy, you know, I didn't like that very much. Maybe I understand how those people felt now that I stole from. Because, man, I had this money saved up. It took me 10 years to save this up for this dream that I had, and the guy stole my dream. And so he thinks, well, maybe I need to have a little empathy for the other guy. And eventually the person tunes in to the soul, and he begins to really identify with other people more, and then he eventually learns that the dominating good is not just his universe, but we all have an effect on each other. That we're all in this together. Because we're all in it together, well, the dominating good, or the good, that his intelligence needs to be applied to is the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, and to quote Spock again. And when eventually everybody comes to that realization, but it's through trial and error. We make a lot of mistakes, but eventually everybody comes to that realization. Even the dark brothers do after a long, long detour. But everybody comes to that realization. Because everybody comes to it, that makes the good of the whole eventually dominates. But good dominates over evil because of our decisions are made in the direction of progress. And we then apply our intelligence in that direction. Creation could not take place without both good and evil, without both positive and negative. They both have to be there. But what we want is the progression to dominate. Within the atom itself, you have the negative electrons balanced off by the dominating positive force of the protons in the middle of the atom. Now, the protons dominate, we know, because they hold the electrons within their orbit. The electrons do not hold the proton within their orbit, but it's the protons that hold the electrons in their orbit. But without both of them interplaying, there's no atom at all. Without the interplay of the manure and the sunshine and everything, you don't have the roses. But with the interplay of the positive and negative forces, you have the roses, which is the dominating good is prevailing there. But then the roses crumble, and they don't smell so good after a while, but then more roses come up later. So eventually, because the roses always come up, the good is a symbol of the good dominating. Yeah.
We should be very careful about good and evil, because that was used during the crusade and, you know, religious wars, when they are in the ego mind and you have these two pointing at each other as evil, and both of them are supposed to be good.
Okay, that's a good point. So in other words, what he's pointing out, like the crusades was a fight over good and evil, but here they define good as, if you're not on my side, you're evil. If you're on my side, you're good. That's not the definition. Your side, the question is your side moving forward in evolution or not? And if it is moving forward in evolution, it's a step backward to try to force somebody else to move forward with you, because that doesn't work either. Even the people on the dark side think they're on the right side. Yeah. So you have two people fighting a war. Generally, both of them think their side is the dominating good. But one side will always be the one that moves forward. Like, on hindsight now, we look at World War II, and on hindsight, it's really obvious that the Allies were the ones to move forward and Hitler was moving backwards. But when the people were back there living at that time, just before World War II, a lot of people couldn't see it. A lot of people thought that Hitler was a pretty nice guy. Even like Joseph Kennedy, John Kennedy's dad, he thought Hitler was somebody we could work with. Thought he was a misunderstood character, you know. And a lot of people thought this way. And they can't see the picture of what's good and evil, what moves us forward and what's backward, till everything is over. And especially with war, because wars bring out such impassioned emotion in people that people can't see the good, the forest for the trees. Now, Isaiah makes an interesting statement. He says, people take good for evil and evil for good, light for darkness and darkness for light. There are none that doth good, no, not one. And Isaiah was complaining about the people in his age. That the people see good and they call it evil, they see evil, they call it good, they see light, and they call it darkness, and vice versa. And poor old Isaiah was going around teaching, and he couldn't find one person that could recognize the difference between good and evil. But in this regard, what does the scripture say on that? It says, when you partake of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, ye shall be as gods, for you shall have the power to discern good from evil. That's the power of God, to be able to discern what is evil and what is good. That's interesting when you think about it. In other words, this difference between being a regular guy and a person that's manifesting the God within is the person that can really discern what moves us forward and what doesn't. Now, what intelligence does is, even when it makes the bad choices that pull us backward, it eventually learns. The guy eventually learns that it's wrong, that it just doesn't work. And then he discards that and makes another choice, and it may take him backward, but eventually he makes a choice that pushes him forward. Leonardo da Vinci makes a stroke. Finally got the smile the way I want. And he doesn't erase it this time. He keeps it. He keeps that. Now he's got it the way he wants. He keeps it. This is why good dominates. Another reason is, when the good is discovered, when that is discovered which moves us forward, we keep it. Yeah.
But good to one person is not good to another. It seems like perception. It seems like an ego thing.
Now you're talking about likes and dislikes there. See, a like, what you like is not necessarily good. What you dislike is not necessarily evil. Likes and dislikes vary. But what is forward in progression is fairly absolute. If you move forward in spirit, your vibration will increase. That's an absolute.
But it's not always pleasant to do that.
Right.
Your personality doesn't always.
Your personality will rebel against it. But when your vibration towards spirit increases, this is like measuring something scientifically. If something, it gets hotter, the speed of the vibration of the molecules increases. And so if something is getting hotter, it can be absolutely measured. If something gets colder, it can be absolutely measured. As we progress towards spirit, our spiritual vibration gets stronger. And that's an absolute. And a lot of people say there are no absolutes, but there are absolutes. But as far as likes and dislikes, there are no absolutes there. Because the person, some people like to be whipped, handcuffed to the bed and taken advantage of when they're making love, that type of thing, you know? People like all kinds of weird stuff. So it's interesting that a person progresses in the path of selfishness, which appears to be going backward, but he learns that selfishness is not the way, because when he is selfish, he keeps reaching dead end after dead end and not obtaining any lasting happiness from it. Because there's no lasting happiness, and he reaches all the dead ends, then he eventually turns around and says, well, what else is there? I got to look another direction, like Edison. This didn't work and this didn't work. I got to look in another direction. When he finds a direction that works, and no longer is he on the path of selfishness. And the same thing with every direction. We have to find out what doesn't work, everything that doesn't work, until we find out what does work. And then when we find what does work, our intelligence makes the decision. I'm going to stay with this now. I'm going to incorporate this into my philosophy. So he incorporates the good, and this causes good to dominate over evil in the long run. If you realize that good always dominates over evil, that eventually progress will be made, eventually you will find out what doesn't work, and you will find out what does work, and you will choose that because you are being interested in your self-interest, and because you are interested in what's good for you as well as everybody else, you will choose the good. And when you realize this, you will never get completely discouraged. You may get down a little bit, but you'll never get completely discouraged if you incorporate into your philosophy that good dominates over evil, and you have faith in that. You'll always pick yourself up no matter how low you get, and you'll move onward. And, you know, everybody in their life has reached a low point now and then. But I've always personally believed in the dominance of good. And that has helped me to pick myself up many times and then just move forward, because if you have faith that by moving forward you eventually are going to triumph, then the only thing to do is to get up and move forward to the best of your ability and follow what?
Amen.
follow the highest you know. The highest you know may not be right, but if the highest you know isn't right, you'll find out that it isn't right, and then you'll have a new highest you know, and this may be right this time. Sooner or later, you get the one that's right. But follow the highest you know. Don't have any guilty conscience about it if it turns out to not work. But just keep following the highest you know, and good will dominate. Somebody had a question there.
If it's true that good dominates over evil in the long run, why does the dark side seem to have such apparent power in the short term?
Well, that's why people pick the dark side to begin with, is because it has power in the short term. And the people you have to step back. It's like Edison. He was working on the light bulb. He had 10,000 experiments, cost him a tremendous amount of money and time and sweat and tears to go through those 10,000 failures. The short-term success would have been, well, I'll just stop this and take all this money I'm putting in the light bulb and I'll put it in whale oil or something that is going to make me a good return on my investment. And 999 people out of 1,000 or more would have done that. But we had one guy that didn't do that. And the one guy that didn't do that produced something that created a lot of good for mankind. And so evil is powerful in the short term. But eventually, a person rises in intelligence to see the long term. And the person has to see the long term to be an agent for the dominating good. But when he's an agent and then he produces that long-term effect, when Edison produced the light bulb, have we ever just eliminated it? Decided, well, we don't want the light bulb anymore. We've had it for 50 or 100 years, so we've had it long enough, so we're just going to throw it back. No, because it dominates. That good dominates. We're not going back to whale oil to live on, to light our lamps with, are we? It's not enough whales anymore anyway. So once that good demonstrates itself, we don't go back. We keep it. We're keeping the light bulb. We're keeping the radio. We're keeping computers. We keep all these dominating good things. We're not throwing them back. They can be destroyed through our negligence, but we're not letting them go willingly. The distance we're going is all dominated by what we call the dominating good. This is what can give us all comfort. And this is why God jumped in this universe to begin with, because he has faith in the dominating good. If he didn't have faith that good would dominate because of intelligence, he probably would have never jumped in this universe. But he liked jumping into it, not knowing for sure how he was going to get out, because that's what makes the game of life fun. And he shares this fun with us. Now, if you get in a car accident, you think, boy, what fun you're sharing with me. I don't like this accident at all. You know, it's terrible. Terrible things happen sometimes, but it's just like Monopoly. You hit a motel, you have to pay $1,000, you feel down in the dumps, but then you move along and somebody lands on your motel and you collect a bunch of money from, hey, this is kind of fun, you know, So eventually life turns. Think of the time when you were most down in the dumps in your entire life. You just felt horrible. And then think maybe a year or two later, you're just on top of the world. And you think when you're on top of the world, it's almost like when you're on the bottom, it makes being on top better. Because you really appreciate being on top when you've been on the bottom. I talk to movie stars, for instance. They often interviewed people who say, well, you know, you look like you got it all made. Have you ever had to struggle? And they'll say, oh, yeah, man, I came here. I was starving to death. I was living on crackers for a year and waiting tables. And they often have tales of how they really struggled before they made it. And now they've made it, they're just thrilled to have made it. The worst hell a person can enter is if he just gives up. Like the people in the parable at the end of book one, the ones that couldn't make the decision, couldn't move along the path, they were just frozen in fear. There is where the true hell is where people are afraid to move because they're afraid they're going to suffer, or they're afraid they're going to have pain. But if we make the wrong decision, it's better than no decision. The wrong decision is better than no decision, because if you make the wrong decision, you're going to figure out what you did wrong. All you got to do is have a pure heart. The importance of having a pure heart is, if you make the wrong decision and you're honest with yourself, you'll figure out it's the wrong decision, you'll backtrack, and then you'll make the right decision. But if you make no decision, you never figure out what's right and wrong. You'll just be in a state of limbo until you do make a decision. So making the decision is an important thing.
Thank you for listening to the New Age Christian Synthesis podcast. If what you heard rang true for you, or you would like to find out more, please visit J.J. Dewey's website at freeread.com.